Good morning and welcome to today's very special edition of All Sides Weekend. We're doing a book show today. We did one last week and had a great time. But we have had an opportunity today to really delve in some detail into a very special niche. Today we're going to talk about children's books, books for kids, books for young readers. And I have three people in the studio with me. Oh, I'm Christopher Purdy. How are you? I have three people in the studio with me who are perfectly positioned to have this conversation with us. They are Melia Wolf. Now, many of you listening know the Cover to Cover bookstore in Clintonville. It was in Clintonville for many years. Those of us who are parents, it was the go-to place in the neighborhood and all over Columbus to buy children's books. Melia Wolf is the new owner of Cover to Cover Bookstore, and she is reinventing the store in a new location in Upper Arlington. It's going to be opening in January. I'm very excited that you're here and about your news. Welcome, Melia Wolf.
Thank you, Christopher. I'm so excited that you have me on.
Thank you. Ryan Burley is here. He is the Youth Services Manager at the New Albany branch of the Columbus Library, and he came today with two bags filled with books to talk to us about. Ryan, welcome, and thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
And as I've said many times, it's no show at all without Cassie Rose, who is WOSU's book critic. If you think Cassie is the go-to person for literary fiction and good reads, you're right. But she is also incredibly informed to books for young people, and she's brought young people's books to our other programs, and she's got a stack with her today. Cassie Rose, welcome back.
Thanks. Good morning.
And later in the broadcast, we'll be having a call-in guest, Ben Hatke, who has written a series of graphic novels for young people. The latest is called Mighty Jack, and it's a retelling of the Jack and the Beanstalk story. So we'll talk with Ben later in the broadcast. But let's start with Melia Wolf. Reintroduce us to Cover to Cover Bookstore. You bought it in July, and you're moving it to Arlington. When is the opening?
True. Yes, we hope to open January. I would like it to be sooner, if possible. We will do our best. But I'm sure we will be open in January. Sally Odie and her husband Carl King owned it for 40 years. They had two separate locations. Their first location was smaller, and this new location will be similar to that, with only 1,100 square feet. But it will be warm and cozy and inviting, and a place to bring readers and writers together with author visits. I hope to keep Sally's great legacy of bringing the authors to Columbus. And at times when my store won't fit people, I will certainly find another venue and make sure we can host authors that are worthy for children to meet.
Overflow crowds are a good problem to have.
Right, that's a high-class problem. That. That's right.
So you walk into your new space in Arlington, and you look at it, and it probably, when you first got there, was empty, and you're envisioning a store. How do you stock a bookstore for children, children's book? You know, what's the buying problem? How do you decide what to sell?
Well, there, I could go into a lot of detail. There are a lot of supports out there. There's Edelweiss, and I certainly have a great group of wholesalers that will help me with my first stocking. However, I also plan to listen and care about the community, and the people I hope to continue to get are the teachers and parents, people passionate about children's literature, and people passionate about, as I am, about getting children to love reading. And I want it to be a cozy, happy place. I'd like to host both book clubs. Hopefully, I will be able to nurture children into running them themselves eventually. I'd also like to have writing workshops. So I do plan to have, coming in September, I'm going to have a roundtable and invite representatives from places like the Main Library and the Thurber House and any other local people who would like to come and talk about how Cover to Cover can continue to serve Columbus.
You're on the cusp of something wonderful, and I congratulate you and thank you. This is going to be great.
Thank you.
Well, you have a library resource sitting next to
yes.
you, Ryan Burley from New Albany, the Youth Services Manager. You mentioned off mic that you actually are reading to children as well. So describe a little bit your work in the New Albany branch and tell us about a favorite book you've brought along.
Yeah, well, I'm the Youth Services Manager of the library, so I supervise staff that work with children, but I also do story times. I've done story times for children for about 15 years now. I play children's music and just, you know, love reading books to children and getting them excited about reading. And one of the books that I brought that this year at New Albany, we had lots of schools visit, a lot of school visits at the branch, and we read this book called The Legend of Rock, Paper, Scissors by Du Dewalt, and it's a fantastic book. It's one that has these fantastic, like, big illustrations, and it's the funnest thing to read in the world. It just, it gets the kids engaged and excited, that's, you know, that's what I'm really passionate about, is just reading to kids, exposing them to reading, and also being able to suggest books to parents, too, that'll be good for their children.
Nothing is better than reading to a child. Nothing.
Oh,
nothing,
no,
is better.
Yeah, it's the best thing. And my grandma was really influential to me. She collected children's books, was the curriculum supervisor at the Knox County school system, and owned thousands of picture books, and gave me picture books, read them to me when I was a child. And that's how I really got passionate about children's literature.
I put out a call on my Facebook page and asked people for their favorite children's books. And at last, I got 276 responses at last count. And I'm just going to read a couple of the multiple choices, people that had got more than one vote. The Secret Garden, Charlotte's Web, A Wrinkle in Time, Alice in Wonderland, The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. That got a lot of hits. The All of a Kind Family series and The Boxcar Children by Margaret Warner, which is something I didn't know. That was enormously popular,
yeah,
and I need to go back and reread some of these books. But what was great about these responses, and thank you all, is that I forgot that I love these books, and it was great to be reminded of that. And Cassie Rose, you have brought us a stack of books, too. Tell me about a recommendation. Tell me about something that's wonderful for young people to read.
Well, I come from the young adult, an adult who reads books that are printed for teens. And they're actually hard for me to find the good ones, because there's so many that are out there. But I do come across some really good ones. And the one that I'm reading right now is on the bestseller list. And Christopher, we talked about it in our last show. And it's The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. And that is, it's very much of a, it's a riveting book. It will grab you if you're an adault reader, just like John Green's The Fault in Our Stars. I mean, it's that level. Or maybe The Hunger Games. And a lot of young adult books that are coming out are grabbing adults to read them. And the publishers are have a balancing act, because a lot of times they're bringing out books and they say, well, is this young adult? It's borderline of whether or not for also adult readers. And also they've got the adult audience to sell to, too. So they're very much pushing this to saying, yeah, maybe it's a young adult, but, you know, they're good for you, too, as an adult. And that started with Harry Potter and The Hunger Games.
The Hate You Give is a book that I learned a great deal from. It's probably the most important book that I personally have read in the past 12 months. And in a nutshell, it's about a young African-American man who's shot by a cop, and the fallout from there. And if you are someone like me, who's an old white guy from an affluent suburb, you don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. Not even close. And so I learned incredibly what this book was. And I've actually bought a stack of them to give to young people in my life. Yeah. So thank you for that very much. Going back to I don't know if you would read that to a child, but how, Malia, do you choose a really good book to read to a child, to really sort of unlock the desire to read themselves?
Well, that's a great question. I suppose it would just start with that child and their ability to interpret. Like you said, that book in particular wouldn't be great for every child, but certainly I actually bought that for my niece, who will learn and love this book, from and love this book. But for example, my son is autistic. That would not be appropriate. He would not be able to comprehend or digest those heavy topics. So I do teach him through books that he can understand through. I'm actually a fan, like I told you earlier before the show, I'm a fan of graphic novels. He really didn't have a lot of language until age 4. I did a program that taught him to visualize. Through that program, he was able to be able to picture what I was reading to him. Prior to that, I didn't realize he wasn't getting anything. There was no auditory processing. So for me, when I read to a child, I now know to build the ability using structure words to reflect back on things, but previous pages, like ask questions about what and size and color and shape and help that child begin to picture things. Now, you can talk with a child, for example, like my son who didn't have language. I was able to use pictures to give him that language to describe things.
Give me a specific title that would have been good. Something you liked reading with your son.
Sure. We read the entire Jeff Smith Bone series because he enjoyed it and was excited about it. We've also recently read Amulet, which is another graphic series. But I wouldn't read Mouse 1 and Mouse 2 with him, which I would have with my older son, or, you know, saying I did, actually. So even within graphic novels, that's appealing to him. It's a bridge. I do know there's a concern that kids will get stuck on that. But I think if you continue talking to them and reading with them, it's a nice bridge to chapter books without all the imagery. And I do not feel like it gets them stuck. I, even as an adult, I love reading graphic novels, too.
How about Ryan? What graphic novels, I think, in the last 5 years or so have really kind of come to stay, and they are wonderful. I find myself picking up one, and we'll be talking with Ben Hatke later, who specializes in them. What are the hot books right now? What especially are the ones that are popular right now in the library?
Yeah, well, you know, the Amulet series is really popular. That's one. I love that series. It's a great fantasy series, amazing pictures. And, you know, and I think the big thing about graphic novels, I think, you know, parents get caught up there. You know, their kids are reading graphic novels. Maybe this isn't literature. You know, maybe this isn't important. But I really think that, you know, if kids are reading, that's a great thing. And I think graphic novels, they are reading. And there's something that is going to become more and more popular. Rania Tagelmeyer, her series, her book Smile, Drama. She's actually started illustrating the Babysitter's Club books. Her books are great, are incredibly popular with girls. So we have lots of girls in elementary school, middle school that love her graphic novels and are, you know, are coming in for them. There's even been lots of books that have come out that have been similar to that recently, like El Defo, Awkward, that are graphic novels that really appeal to young girls and are just are fantastic books.
What about young boys?
You know, Amulet's one that's really popular with boys. There's so many great series. Bone is one of my favorites, which I think you know, appeals to boys and girls. But even some like Geronimo Stilton is a book that's a they're chapter books, but they've also been made into graphic novels. They're really great ones too. But there's just tons. It's amazed me. Our collection of graphic novels in the library has just grown and grown in the last couple of years. It's something we're buying a lot of.
What about working with kids who have reading disabilities? Is that part of what you folks do?
Yes.
Do you, Malia?
I absolutely plan to provide not only the books that are great for the children, but provide literature for the teachers on different topics like ADHD, autism, dyslexia. And I have, through my journey, come to know a lot of people, experts in these areas. So I have some great resources to give to people.
And that great resource will be in the Cover to Cover bookstore that will be where in Arlington?
It's going to be on Arlington Avenue, 2116 Arlington Avenue. And I'm currently working on getting it ready. I have to get the shelves in.
We're thinking maybe January.
Yes, sir.
Terrific. Wonderful. We're going to take a quick break and come back in about 60 seconds. More with today's program on children's book, young adult books on All Sides Week. And don't go away. We are back. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're talking about children's books on today's edition of All Sides Weekend Books. My guests are Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic. Cassie's blog, important for anyone who loves to read, is thelongestchapter.com. Melia Wolf is here. She is making her first appearance with us, for which I thank you. Melia is the new owner of Cover to Cover Bookstore, which is going to be reopening at a new location in Upper Arlington come January, maybe a little bit before.
We hope.
We look forward to that. And Ryan Burley is here from the New Albany branch of the Columbus Library. And he is the youth services manager and an expert in all things of books for kids, including reading to them, which I think is great. And you brought a couple of chapter books along as well. How about a recommendation?
Yeah, well, I brought a series that I really love. It's a series, and the last book in the series has just come out recently, but this is the first one. It's called Lockwood and Company, and it's this great book. I think it would appeal to kids that really liked Harry Potter, and it's a book that's it's about kids who fight ghosts. And the idea is that adults can't see the ghosts, but kids can. So it's this story of these kids who really have to overcome these obstacles and really kind of like save the world by kind of using their own smarts. And I love that idea of the kids having this power and being able to see this thing that adults can't see. You know, I think that really appeals to kids because, you know, a lot of times as a kid, I think you're looking at your parents like, they don't understand me. They don't understand the world. And I think this kind of fits into that. So it's a wonderful series that's had me really excited recently. And then I have another book. This one's a teen book, but I'm excited about it because it was actually some of it was written in our library. So it was
really?
Super exciting.
No kidding.
It's Kristen Orlando. It's called You Know My Name. And she's an author from Columbus, and it actually takes place in Columbus. She mentions the Short North. She mentions New Albany in the story, but she's from New Albany, lives in New Albany, and it's about a spy. This girl's is a spy, and she's trained in martial arts. She's, you know, it appealed to fans of The Hunger Games, a really strong female lead character, and she wrote some of the book in the library. So it was pretty exciting for us to see that it's published in a major publisher, Harper Collins imprint. So it was pretty cool and exciting for us at the library.
Melody, when you're stacking cover to cover, what is going to be the age range?
Well, we plan to carry books for all ages up through young adult, including the board books and the picture books and the middle readers and the, you know, the new chapter books, etc. And then young adult as well. I'm going to be selective about the young adult books and certainly use experts like Cassie I would like to consult with or follow her blog and make sure that I carry ones that are relevant and worthwhile.
Is Goodnight Moon still popular?
Of course.
Okay, Goodnight Moon. I love that book. I love that book, Goodnight Moon. That's right. Actually, it is on the list of all the people who were kind enough to respond about the books that they loved. Harriet the Spy, James and the Giant Peach, Bartholomew and the Oobleck. My favorite title here, and I relate, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Harold and the Purple Crayon. We've had marvelous response to people sending in their favorite titles of books for young people. Cassie Rose, what was your favorite book as a kid growing up?
Oh, my gosh. I had several. Harriet the Spy, The Phantom Tollbooth, Up a Road Slowly. I loved that book. Shadow of a Bull. I think that was one, too. And Dr. Doolittle. And I was just an avid reader, just one right after the other, and just loved to just be in my room reading a book on summer afternoons with the windows open. And
did that make you weird?
A little bit, probably. But, you know, my second grade teacher, she would read to us during one period, and she called that time Hop on a Magic Carpet Ride. And that started me out. So I felt like I was hopping on a magic carpet ride as I began reading books. And I just couldn't get enough of them. And I remember also when I would check the book out, I would go home and read it and bring it back. And the librarian said, you know, you really need to take out a bigger book. And so you read it over time, over a week. And I was just like, oh, what is she talking about? And she gave me this big fat book and I went home and I read it that night and turned it back in. It's just like I couldn't get enough of them. And there were wonderful books just coming out or that were presented to me and a lot by the librarians helping me to find them. I loved going to my library and just I could rattle off. There was Island of the Blue Dolphins. That's one.
That was a sad movie. They took me out of that movie crying 50 years ago.
Yes.
It was a very sad movie, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and just great chapter books, as they said. So, and now as an adult, I want to go back and reread some of those.
I was thinking of doing the same myself. How about you, Ryan? As a kid, what were your favorite books?
You know, I had a lot, but the one that really, you know, picture books were the thing that really struck me as a kid. And I read The Island of the Skog by Stephen Kellogg. And I just remember it like transported me to a different place. It had this magnificent pictures. It was somewhat of a fantastical story. Something that was really moving for me as a kid is I got to meet Stephen Kellogg at the Marion Public Library. I grew up in Marion, Ohio, and I went in and I had made him a book. So I had this book that I wrote for Stephen Kellogg that I wanted to give to him, and the librarians let me just walk up and give it to him, and he mailed a picture book back to my house signed, thanking me for the book. And that's probably the reason why I became a children's librarian. It was just it was such a big deal. But
That's a great story.
I think that ability for books to transport you to a different place, but then I think that's like your big list of books that people have sent in. It's like there's such a nostalgia for books that you read, and I think as parents and as teachers, as librarians, it's such a great opportunity to be able to expose kids to these things that we were passionate about when we were reading when we were younger. And I think it's so cool that everybody's written in with all the ones they loved.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Amelia? What when you were a child were your favorites?
Well, my father read The Runaway Bunny to me, but his favorite book became my favorite book because of the energy he would put into it. It was The King's Stilts by Dr. Seuss. And the Patrol Cats, just I loved the entire story, the Droon and the Page Boy, and I still read that to my own son occasionally. I loved Anne of Green Gables, and was another favorite. I loved The Secret Garden, A Bridge to Terabithia. Those are ones I remember and treasured when I think back.
Dr. Seuss certainly figures large in anybody who loves books for kids. I personally read The Lorax every night for 2 years. Every night. And if I skipped a page, God forbid, for 2 years, and I could probably, after lunch, recite it to you on air, gluppity glup. But I loved, I was reintroduced when I had a child that age to the incredible richness and the mind of that man, Dr. Seuss, just extraordinary mind that he had there. If you would like to share a favorite book or give us a recommendation, we're talking about books for kids on this program, 614-292-8513. We will be having author Ben Hatke join us on the phone a little later in the broadcast. You can also send an email, which might be faster, an email to allsides@wosu.org. We have a call from Jeff in Columbus. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi. I was speaking of Huckleberry Finn. I was introduced to it around the age of 10 when my father read it to me, complete with his version of Arkansas dialect. And I reread it every few years because it's still such a pleasure. But every time I read it, there's something missing. I seem to encounter only abridged editions because, I can't remember everything that I noticed wasn't in it. I notice when it is missing. And I just wondered, is there a publisher or a publishing house or some edition that is completely unabridged, that has all of the different chapters, because everything out there seems to be missing something?
Well, your dad's voice may be part of what's missing. But yeah, Jeff, that's a great question. Hang on, we'll see what our experts say. Anybody know about a complete...
There are some publishers that put out abridged editions for children, but it should always be indicated on the book. It'll say like abridged or underabridged in the title page or on the cover, but especially some of the publishers like Barnes & Noble Classics, things like that, it should say the unabridged edition on it.
That would be a good place to go, is to go to like the Barnes & Noble, the classic edition, or find the Penguin Classic edition.
Penguin Classic would be perfect, right. Yeah. In fact, when I read that in college off a Penguin edition, we were reading American classics that were great for kids as well. Stephanie from Columbus has some recommendation of books that she read to her kids. Hi, Stephanie.
Yes, I just have a couple of them. And I actually still have one of these books because I even like it as an adult. Miss Penny and Mr. Grubb, and then also Five Famished Foxes and Fog Dice.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Miss Penny and Mr. Grubb and Five Famished Foxes and Fog Dice.
Well, I'll leave that alone, but that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Stephanie, very much. Something about the Five Famished Foxes. So I think if you do a Google search on Five Famished Foxes, and that's fun to say. That'll tune right up there. Cassie Rose, what else have you brought us to recommend for young people?
I have brought the book that became very popular called Codename Verity, which is would be more for older teens, though. I would say probably 17, 18. But it's about friendship, girl friendship, and it's also about girl power. And it takes place in World War II, and one is a spy and one is a pilot. And there's a big puzzle in there, too, which I don't want to give away. But you get really caught up. The one who's a spy gets caught in France, and she is writing down on a journal what is going on for her because her captors are making her do this, and she's telling about her friendship about Maddie. And Maddie is a pilot. I mean, this is in World War II, and girls generally weren't pilots back then. So I think, you know, teenage girls can get the girl power, like the Hunger Games kind of thing going here. And it's I was very intrigued by it and loved reading it, and actually had someone jump up in the middle of a restaurant and run over to me and say, "Oh, my gosh, don't you love this book?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah, I do."
All of you work in the book business. Cassie sometimes works with books for young people. But all of you work in the book business. Were all of you read to as children?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, I always think that a child who's read to from the time he or she's 2 years old will get a leg up in school, will be reading on their own. That happened in my house, at least, that, you know, when they're very, very young. And certainly I was read to as a child going back a couple of generations. So read to your kids, for goodness sake. Let's see. We have a call from John in Clintonville. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is John. I have a book suggestion. Dunkirk is very much in the news today because of the movie. I want to recommend a book called The Snow Goose.
Oh.
It's a story of Dunkirk, written by Paul Gallico. He published it in the Saturday Evening Post in 1940 and then made it into a book. My parents read it to me. I read it to my kids. I've never read it to anybody who didn't cry, and the illustrations are great. Thanks.
Thank you very much, John. Snow Goose by Paul Gallico. Certainly that's a great name among writers. Thank you very much for that recommendation. It's a story of the Battle of Dunkirk. How about Bill? Bill in Westerville is recommending a book for us. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, yes, I'd like to recommend the book Pink and Say. That's Pink the Color and Say, S-A-Y. It's a Civil War era picture book that two boys who are conscripted into opposite sides of the armies in the Civil War. It's a great story on bravery and courage and not being moralistic at all, but it's a great story.
Pink and Say. It's a book about the Civil War. Bill, thank you very much. Great recommendation. Thank you, everybody, for your recommendations. You can send an email to us if you'd like at allsides@wosu.org. Huckleberry Finn turned up on my list several times of asking people about their favorite books. Little Women, The Little Princess, Cheaper by the Dozen, which I thought was great to see. Yeah. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Remember Curious George? George series. And Harriet the Spy turned up a great deal as well. And my own personal favorite, ta-da, The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham, which is a book I've always loved. Tell me, Ryan, do you have anything coming up, I guess, in the middle of August? School is back in session or about to be. Do you have anything coming up for kids that you want to talk about at the library?
Yeah, well, we've just recently opened up all of our homework help centers and all of our branches of the library, Columbus Library System. And that's something that's, you know, I think it's a really great resource. So after school in every branch, we have volunteers and staff members that can help kids with their daily homework. And it's in every branch of the Columbus Metropolitan Library. And it's a great resource. And I think it's something that can really help parents if they're struggling with their kids, trying to get them to work on their homework, struggling with homework. It's something where they can come to the library and really and get some help. So it's a great resource that we have.
Certainly my neighborhood branch at Whetstone has a very active homework help center. And I also want to make the point that the newly renovated main branch downtown has a huge children's section, a wonderful children's section down there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful library. We've had lots of new facilities that have been built recently. And the main library is just, it's a great place to visit. You know, even if you're just, you know, want to just go downtown and visit, it's a wonderful facility.
Can I say that I love visiting there, and that don't be intimidated. The parking, they have great parking.
That's true. Sometimes it feels hard to park downtown, but it's pretty easy. At
the library is an exception.
We're talking about children's books on today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Melia Wolf is here. She is the owner of the new and soon-to-be-reopened cover-to-cover bookstore for children's books. It's going to be in Upper Arlington. Ryan Burley is here. He is the Youth Services Manager at the New Albany branch of the Columbus Library, and the peerless Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic here. And now I understand we have on the phone Ben Hatke. Ben, are you there? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Ben
Hatke has written a series of wonderful books for young people. The one that I have in my hand is called Mighty Jack. It is a graphic novel. It is a retelling of the Jack and the Beanstalk story. And I'm pleased to welcome Ben Hatke. Tell me a little bit about writing books for kids.
Sort of a dream come true for me in a way. I find myself now writing the kinds of books that both I loved growing up and that I kind of wish there were more of. So I think the dream is like when I hear from parents or actually from kids themselves that they, you know, spent a summer day reading this book or they read it, basically like treehouse literature, I think of it, right? Like stuff that I remember sitting up in a treehouse on hot summer days when school was out and reading. And when I was growing up, I got my foot in like picture books and different kinds of young people's literature, but comics especially. I'm especially drawn to comics. And I remember sitting up in treehouses reading Calvin and Hobbes and Scrooge McDuck comics and some other really, really great stuff. And now I'm doing that for the next generation.
You have a series about Zita the Space Girl. She sounds like a very brave, tough little girl. Tell me about Zita the Space Girl.
She's brave and tough, yeah. And Zita was my first series, and in writing that, I was really consciously trying to cram everything that I liked about adventure stories all into one little three volume kind of overarching series, and so that was a lot of fun. So Zita herself ends up by some series of events on the other side of the galaxy searching for her lost friend. And so along the way, she sort of inadvertently becomes sort of a hero, sort of a traveling, adventuring hero.
Sometimes, I believe not all of your books are graphic novels. Is that correct?
No, I also do picture books, and I'm working on a YA novel right now. And so the picture books are Nobody Likes a Goblin and Julia's House for Lost Creatures.
When you do a graphic novel, what do you start with, the pictures or the words?
Both at the same time, but I keep them separate. And everybody works differently, but what I tend to do is I'll start a written file, and then I'll start a notebook or like a sketchbook. And so in the written file, I'm nailing down what's happening in the story. I do a written version of the whole book. And then in the notebook, I'm really just exploring not making comics so much as just exploring the look of the thing. Like I've talked about this character, you know, I've described this character in my notes, and then I look in the sketchbook and I'm like, what does that character look like? And you end up drawing a character 15 or 20 different, even a new character, you end up drawing that character 15 or 20 different times, getting to know them. Maybe you kind of do doodles. Loose sketches of the environments, right? Like, where does this take place? So you're developing the visual look of the thing on one, it's like right brain, left brain almost. Like, you're developing, on one sense, like this very nonlinear sort of visual development. And then on the other side, you're saying, like, okay, plotting, point by point, what's happening?
I understand you have four daughters. Do they audition your books for you and go, Dad, you have no clue what you're talking about?
Yeah, they're like, they are really, really helpful in a lot of ways. They are my first line, even before my editor, they're my first line of critics. But in a good way, like they'll come in and they'll, you know, they're usually abreast of what I'm working on, and they're really good at being like picking out things that are confusing, maybe that I wasn't clear enough about. They're really good at like pointing, like if they don't they're really good, like gauges of humor, since they're all different ages too. Like if there's something that I've put in there that I think is hilarious, and they're all like, I don't get it, then yeah. I know my jokes are falling flat, stuff like that.
Melia Wolf is here, who owns a very important children's bookstore in the area, and she has a question or a comment.
Oh, hello, hello, Ben. Yes, I did read the first of the Zeta series with my son, and I have to tell you, he associated with the one character that didn't speak, the mouse, and he loved pizzicato, and yes, so I do love how this story, I think the word I want is allusions, things are happening that aren't necessarily in words, so that you can pick up and appreciate those parts of the story, too, for interpretation.
I think a lot about a visual storytelling. I think a lot about, like, how much story can I tell just through body language and action and stuff, and that's been kind of a theme, sort of a personal theme in my work, like how much can I tell before I even get to the words. So now that you're mentioning mouse or pizzicato, it's really funny because I'm noticing that there's often a silent character. And so in Zeta, it's pizzicato, and in Mighty Jack, he has an autistic younger sister, and she, for whatever reason, doesn't speak or speaks very, very rarely, and she was my reminder in that story to show, not tell. And then I did the book Little Robot, and that's for very young readers, and it's not completely wordless, but it's mostly told through gestures.
Did you always want to write books for kids, or did you kind of fall into this in another way?
That's a hard question to answer a little, because it seems like a little bit of both. I mean, I went through different stages. I was always the kid who was drawing and writing stories. And so I think in the back of my mind, that was always my dream job. But, you know, I went through phases where, you know, the dream job was Indiana Jones or other things. Like there have definitely through my life been other things that I've been drawn to doing. But I think this is the thing that I kept falling back to. And is the thing that suits me best, storytelling in all its forms.
Ben Hatke's latest book is Mighty Jack. It's a very special retelling of the Jack and the Beanstalk story, featuring his Jack's kid sister Maddie, who is autistic, and she's a powerhouse in this book. Matt, you don't fool with Maddie here. Ben is the author of Zeta, the Space Girl series, Nobody Likes a Goblin, Little Robot, and my own personal favorite title, Miss Piggle Wiggle and the Whatever Cure. Ben Hatke, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Ben Hatke, thank you very much. This is All Sides Weekend. We're going to take a very quick break and come back with our last segment talking about children's books. Don't go away. We are back with our final segment on today's discussion of All Sides Weekend books about children's books. What a wonderful city to live in if you love children's books, I must say. Mm-hmm. Just talking with the three of you here in this studio and knowing about Cover to Cover Bookstore and certainly the Columbus Library, which is an incredible resource. It's a treasure house for anything, but children's books as well. Ryan Bewley is Youth Services Manager at the New Albany branch of the Columbus Library, and he reads to kids, for which I thank you. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Malia Wolf is the owner of Cover to Cover Bookstore, and Cassie Rose is WOSU's book critic. Her blog is The Longest Chapter. Back to my list. As I said, I asked on Facebook for people to tell me their favorite books. I asked a wide range of ages, and I'm just reading a few of them. The Pushcart War, The Red Balloon, Huckleberry Finn came up a lot. Let's see. The Beverly Cleary books. Beverly Cleary, Henry Huggins, and Ramona the Pest. Do you know she's still alive?
Yeah.
She's 102 years old, and she's still alive and well. In fact, I tried to get her on the show, and I was told to get in line. Treasure Island, Black Beauty turned up a lot. The Little Prince turned up a great deal. Saint-Exupéry. Yeah. Now, you, Ryan, mentioned a website for books for young people.
Yeah, well, it's a website. We had talked a little bit about teen books, and teen books are books that can be, you know, have a wide ranging of subject matter. And sometimes I know it's hard for parents to look at a book and say, you know, is this good for my 13-year-old? Is this more for a 17-year-old? Just because the subject matter can be really intense in teen books. And there's a website called Common Sense Media that I often direct parents to that does ratings for books. So it does kids' books, it does teen books, and it'll give it has a statement that basically says what parents should know about. So Is there language in the book that you might find offensive? Is the subject matter intense? And I think it does a great job of giving parents that information. They can look at it and then make that decision for their kids. But I think it's a tough thing with especially with teen books where the subject matter can be very adult and they're dealing with very touchy issues. So it's something that I often suggest to parents when they're asking the library.
Tell me again the website.
Yeah, it's Common Sense Media, and I believe it's just .org.
Okay. Terrific. Millie, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I've been on that recently, and it's a great resource.
Yeah, it's really I've used it a lot, and I think it's really helpful.
I mentioned earlier Good Night Moon, and I want to go back to the other range of the ages and to really little kids who are not yet reading themselves.
Sure.
Millie, let me ask you, books like that. Books that have really wonderful books for really tiny kids.
Of course. I think one that comes to mind is Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, just because it's such a rhythmic book and it's bright and happy and engaging. And at least both my children and other children I've read it to have responded well to it. It seems to make them happy. And I think also other books like that are repetitive, like Brown Bear, Brown Bear. Obviously Goodnight Moon, like you mentioned, and even The Runaway Bunny. It's
a
little
great book, The Runaway Bunny.
Sure, I keep mentioning it, but you can start telling stories. They're listening. So
Eric is on the phone, and he has a question of something that I wanted to get to. Let me have Eric ask us. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, I'm out in my yard weeding and totally enjoying this show. Thank you so much for it. I actually have a comment and a question. The comment was that I don't think you need to wait until children are two to start reading to them. There are plastic padded books that can develop the habit of understanding that you get an experience with a book that can be shared with a child under two. And but my question is, do you have some recommendations for books that reference the diversity in our community, you know, that show girls in active roles and that have African-Americans and people of color in prominent characters and have maybe stories that speak to some of the wider experiences in our community? Any recommendations along those lines?
Yes, that's a great question, Eric. Thank you. Let's have a discussion on that about really, you know, I mean, when I was being read to, it was Little White Children. It just was. That's what it was. And I'm talking 50 and plus years ago. What about now, Ryan? How are we able to serve everybody who needs to be served?
Yeah, well, you know, there's lots of great diverse, picture books that are around now. Actually, the Caldecott winner last year was about the artist Basquiat, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. There's lots of great. Vera Williams has lots of great books that are diverse picture books with different types of kids. There's also Todd Parr does some great diversity books. Todd Parr is this picture book author that has these really bright kind of simple illustrations, but he has one that's called It's Okay to Be Different. That just talks about that there's all different types of people, you know, in the world. And it's a great one to read with really, you know, with really young kids. It's a pretty simple story.
And also persons with autism, children with autism are now being made strong characters in books. Mighty Jack, we just spoke with Ben Hatke. Maddie, the little girl in the book, the autistic young sister, basically takes on the giant and wins. I mean, I don't want to give it away, but there's certainly a growth area in serving the persons with autism, persons with physical challenges, persons with learning disabilities, et cetera, are all now being part of the conversation.
Of course, like Fish in a Tree. And you were mentioning, I also like, there are some other authors I want to mention, Ezra Keats and Faith Ringgold. And but going back to Fish in a Tree, the girl simply wasn't learning the same way other people were learning. So that's what made her different. And the story is wonderful. And it shows how with the right person championing the child or the human, that that person can really shine and come out and be strong.
And the Caldecott-winning book about Basquiat is called Radiant Child.
Yes,
it's
Radiant
by Jevaka Steptoe. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. I'm going to look for that myself.
It's a wonderful book. The illustrations are beautiful.
And we keep coming back to, and I'm going to do it again. I don't care, to The Hate You Give. Which we were talking about books that reference, I don't even know if this is diversity, but for many of us, it is the way into a culture we don't know enough about. We don't get enough about. The writer is Angie Thomas. She is a very engaging young woman. I've seen a couple of interviews on YouTube with her. And I really strongly recommend the book, probably not for five-year-olds, but certainly for young adults, for middle school to old. I think they say 14 and up. It is, I understand it's among, in the young adult genre, it is the most reserved book at the library. It's also a quick pick, so you can find that as well. Kathy has sent us an email asking about books by Eric Carle, so vivid and engaging, and also Virginia Hamilton, who's an Ohio native. I'm going to leave it to you all to fill in that. Eric Carle?
Eric Carle, the very hungry caterpillar. Yeah, one of the big time children's authors. Yeah, I mean, you know, Eric Carle has been publishing, you know, children's picture books for years and has great books. And one thing you talked about, the gentleman had talked about, is that reading books to kids under two. I mean, one of the things we talk about at the library a lot is exposing your kids to books as much as possible and as young as possible. And really, when you're a parent, when you're reading to your child, exposing them to that vocabulary and language, their brains are just soaking that up. So it's never too early to start reading to your kids. And Eric Carle, is one of those authors that, you know, you can read to young kids. They're just exciting, fun, engaging books with great pictures.
Are little kids today experiencing books that you could hold in your hand like at least I did in my generation? Or is it all online now on computer? Our two-year-olds probably are. They probably are going online at that age, but how is that working today? Is Kindle even still a thing, Cassie Rose?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
Or books are here to stay. I want to just hope for that, but
I have to say, I loved carrying books with us everywhere we went when my children were young, and I feel like I see kids at restaurants or even at the park looking at screens. It makes me sad. There's an author, Nicholas Cardaris. He has a PhD. He wrote Glow Kids. And it's about how screen addiction is hijacking our kids and it's how to break the trance. And I think spending time with them, reading with them, allowing them to read with us and valuing that time, my goodness, it flies by. So savor it while you have it.
I think Eric, our caller, said there are cloth books and things. I think if you give even a toddler something that has words on it, even if they put it in their mouths or chew on it or whatever, or drool on it, I mean, I think that also makes an incredible impression. You say, this is a book. This has something in it for you. Even if they can't yet read it themselves, I think for them to physically handle the object can be very, very, very important.
And I think we have lots of board books at the library, and those are a great thing to buy, you know, for young children. A lot of them have tactile things in them, too. So, getting those books in kids' hands so they can feel them and experience it, I think, is really important.
The Columbus Library is a great resource for parents. It's a great resource for everybody. But if you have young children in your house and you want to get them reading, then you have it in your backyard. And Ryan Bewley is here representing the children's services at the Columbus Library. Ryan himself is in New Albany. Go and say hello to him. Get him to read to your kids. I suspect that they will fall in love with him and fall in love with books. Ryan, thank you so much for being here as well.
Thank you so much.
Melia Wolf is taking on a big job and an important job, and she's going to be brilliant at it. She is reopening cover-to-cover bookstore that was in Clintonville and will now be reopening in Upper Arlington in January. Maybe in time for Christmas, maybe a little bit before.
We'll see.
And that will be a great resource to go and buy and learn about books for kids. Melia, thank you for being here very much.
Thank you for having me.
Cassie Rose. It is no show without Cassie Rose, who was WOSU's book critic, and her blog, which is perfect for anyone who loves to read, is thelongestchapter.com. Thank you all. Thank you all for calling. Thank you all for responding on Facebook with your favorite books. I'm going to go out and read them all, and then I'll tell you about it. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you to our producer, Shyla Knott, and thank you all for listening to today's All Sides Weekend Books on 89.7 NPR News.